This morning I reference the events that occurred last weekend in El Paso on Saturday and then on Dayton a little bit later on Saturday night, early Sunday morning. The shootings that left over combined 30 people dead and almost 50 people wounded. And if you watch the news this week, most of the news was concerned about affixing blame, who was responsible, who caused it. And I just want you to set that aside for a minute. I couldn't identify much with the people in Dayton because I don't go downtown in the middle of the night, but I could certainly identify with the people that went to Walmart on Saturday. Amen. When they went to Walmart, their expectation was to go into store, get what they needed, and to go back home, enjoy the rest of the day on Saturday, enjoy the rest of their life. There's probably not one of those 22 people, and I know a couple of them didn't die right away, but as we look back on it, there's probably not one of those 22 people that got up that morning and said, "This is the day I'm going to die. This is the day that my life is going to end." They didn't get up with that expectation. They got up like it was any other day. Just like, and again, I won't ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you went to Walmart this week? How many of you went to Myers? How many of you went someplace in public where the very same thing could have happened but for the grace of God? I would remind you this morning that what happened last weekend to those folks that went to Walmart was unexpected. And it was sudden. If they weren't prepared to go out into eternity before the bullets started flying, they had very little time, if any, to prepare before people started getting hurt and people started to die. Now, I contrast that with Linda, who, as many of you know, hospice has been called in, and the hospice people have said, you know, she probably won't last more than a couple days. And Patty and I have got to go over and visit with Linda a couple times this week, and we've seen her as she still has her wits about her and how she's making final preparations. She's passing out her possessions and making sure different people get what she wants them to have. And most of us hope that when our time comes to go into eternity, that we would have that same opportunity, that we would have time to prepare, that we would have time to get our affairs in order, that we would have time to say goodbye. But I would remind you that for those 22 people that went to Walmart last weekend, they had none of that. They didn't have time to prepare. They didn't have time to get their affairs in order. They did not have time to say goodbye. And so I say to every person that's here this morning that one day you and I will go into eternity. And I say to you this morning, not to try to scare you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to impress on you how important it is to be ready to go into eternity. Hence the title of my message, Eternity. Are you ready? You see, I don't think anybody here this morning got up and thought, well, this may be the day that I die. I mean, maybe not by a shooting. I mean, we are well protected here. I mean, for somebody to get into this place and start shooting, they're going to have to go through eight or nine guys that are packing their guns and will shoot and ask questions later. And so Somebody was talking Wednesday night about a guy that got dressed up in his battle fatigues and went somewhere as a joke. Don't ever come to this place dressed up in battle fatigues as a joke, because you're going to get shot. I'll just warn you. Just don't do that. But nobody came this morning expecting this is going to be my last day on earth. This is going to be the day that I have a heart attack, or I have a car accident, or somebody takes out a gun and shoot me. None of us came with that expectation. But I want to remind you this morning that we are not promised the next second. We are not promised our next breath. We are not promised the rest of this day. We are not promised tonight. Every moment of life that we have is a gift from God, and only God knows when it's going to end. And it could happen in a prolonged manner, like we're experiencing with one of our sisters in this church, or it could happen suddenly. It could happen in a moment's notice. And so my message this morning is very simple. Most of the time I try to talk to Christians and to lost people. This morning I'm just talking to lost people. This morning, if you're a Christian, you listen and you rejoice what you have in Jesus Christ. But I want to talk to those people that are here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And just as simple as I can this morning, I want to let you know how you can be ready to go into eternity. Whether that's today or tomorrow or 20 or 30 or 40 years from now, you need to be ready. You need to be ready to meet God. You need to be ready to go out into eternity. Because you see, there's part of you that's never going to die. There's part of you that is going to live forever. That part of us is called our soul. I mean, this body that we dwell, it started to decay the moment that we were born. And the older you get, the quicker it decays. I mean, the older you get, the more aches and pains you have. I can speak from personal experience. Amen. The older you get, the more it decays. But there's part of you that is never going to decay. There's part of you that's never going to die. That's your soul. Amen. That's your soul. It's going to live forever. You have an eternal soul that is you this morning. And there's only, in eternity, there's only two destinations where that soul can go. It can go to that place called hell that God prepared for Satan and his angels, and will send those that reject Christ to spend eternity apart from him. The Bible tells us about hell. It's a place of fire. It's a place of darkness. It's a bottomless pit where the worm dieth not, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And everybody that does not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, their soul will spend eternity in hell. Amen. The other destination is that place called heaven, a place being prepared today by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible tells us some things about heaven. There's gates of pearl. There's a street of gold. There is no night there. There is no pain there. There is no tears there. There are no goodbyes there. I mean, we will sit at the banqueting table that God has prepared for us, and we will enjoy the fellowship of God for all eternity. So there's only those one. Your soul, when your body dies, when your body ceases to function, and your body dies, your soul will go to either heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. And the thing that makes the difference about where your soul goes is what you've done with Jesus Christ. All right, so I want to illustrate this morning. Brother Ferris, would you come up here and help me? And Brother Jeff and Josh, would you come up here and help me just for a minute? Again, I want to paint a picture. If you're a Christian, this is what has happened in your life already, and you need to rejoice because you are ready. But if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to get ready. All right, so Brother Ferris, come over here. And Josh, you come over here. Brother Jeff, you stay over there just for a minute. All right, we're going to let Brother Ferris represent all of us. We're going to let Josh represent God. We were created by God. We were created to fellowship with God. You guys shake hands. Okay, just representing the fellowship. This is the relationship that God wants with every person. Listen, God did not make anybody to go to hell. These people that say, well, God, keep shaking hands, okay? Don't stop until I tell you. Well, you don't have to move them. Just hold hands there, just okay? It's hard to get good help these days. This is the relationship that God made every single one of us for. These people that say, hey, some people were predestined by God to go to hell, and some people were predestined to go to heaven, that's a lie straight out of hell. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's room in heaven for every single person that's ever walked the face of the earth. They're not there because, I'll tell you why in just a minute, but this is what God wants with us, with every single person. He wants a relationship of fellowship. He wants us to be part of his family. He wants us to be one of his children. That's how the Bible talks about it. Something happened that broke that relationship. That something was sin. All sin is some form of disobedience. I mean, you can call sin different things, but all sin is some form of disobedience where we as man decided that we know better than God. And we said, I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way. And so we as mankind, we're born with a sin nature, but we don't become a sinner until we commit that first sin. Until we reach that point in our life where we know the difference between right and wrong, and we decide we're going to do wrong. Now, we're all born with a sin nature. But it's not until we make that first decision to do wrong that we become a sinner and we turn our back on God. So, Brother Ferris, turn your back on God, okay? Here's sin. It what separates us from what God wanted to have with us. Now, something else happens. When man turns his back on God, God turns his back on man. And there now is a division between man and God. And listen. There is nothing that man can do to make this right. There is nothing that man can do to get God to turn around. You want to know why? Because God is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. And his justice demands that sin be paid for. The Bible tells us that the penalty for sin, the wages of sin, is death, separation from God. And so, we as man in this condition are getting exactly what we deserve because we've sinned and the wage of sin is separation from God. We turned our back toward God. God turned his back on us. There's a wall of division that there's nothing that man can do to overcome that division.
Amen.
Absolutely nothing. You can't work. You can't give. You can't be something. There is nothing that is going to cause God to turn around. But what we could not do, God did for us. So, Brother Jeff, come over here and stand right between them. God loved us so much, and while we were yet sinners, that he said, I have a way to pay for sin. And by the way, he didn't wait until we sinned before he came up with this plan. He knew what was going to happen, and he devised it before the foundation of the world was laid. That's why in the book of Revelation, Jesus is called the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And so God loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. He became a man. He lived among us for 33 years. And then God allowed mankind to take his son and nail him to a cross, the cross of Calvary. And while Jesus hung on that cross, God put on him every one of our sins. Every sin of mankind. You think of the worst sinner you know. Some people would point to Adolf Hitler and say he was the worst sinner that I know. Some people might point to those two men that shot last weekend. Oh, they're terrible, wicked sinners. Just think of the worst sinner you know. Jesus died for their sin. He died for their sin. The worst sinner that you can think of, he died for their sin. Jesus died for my sin. I say like Paul. Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. When I look at myself, I say, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Jesus died for me. And here's what happened. When Jesus went to the cross and died for our sin, he got God to do something. He got God to turn back around. Because you see, sin had been paid for. That's what God demanded. That's what his justice demanded, that sin be paid for. That's what happened on the cross. Now we still got a problem. Because God's turned around and he's ready to renew this relationship with man. But here's old man over here. Stubborn. Set in his ways. You laugh. I'm not talking about Ferris. I'm talking about you. We're stubborn. We're set in our ways.
Amen.
And on our own, we would not turn back to God. But God does something else. I'll represent this player in my skit here this morning. God sends his Holy Spirit to each one of us. Says, Ferris, you're a sinner.
I am.
Jesus, stay out of it. Just be quiet. You're a sinner. You deserve to be separated from God. But God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross. I'm going to give you a little bit of faith. The Bible says that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to give you a little bit of faith. And Ferris, if you'll exercise that faith, you'll believe what I'm telling you. You'll believe that you need a Savior. And you'll believe that Jesus is that Savior. Now, if Ferris or any person will exercise that faith and say, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I deserve to be separated from God. But I believe that Jesus died for me.
Amen.
And would turn. God will reestablish. Just go ahead and put your hand out again. And Jeff, this is our mediator. Christ is our mediator between God and man. And if you will do that, if you will do that, the relationship that God wants you to have with him will be restored.
Amen.
The relationship that you were created to have with God will be restored. Okay, thank you guys. Thank you. Yeah. So I ask the question again. Eternity. Are you ready? You see, you can't avoid it. You can't avoid it. You can't put it off. God already has the moment of our death in his mind. I don't know when it is, and you don't know when it is. Again, I pray that everybody in this room will live to be 150 years old. I don't like to have funerals. I just assume that nobody in our church die. That's that. If I could have my wish, that's what it would be. But I know I'm not going to get my wish. I know if the Lord tarries, that some of us are going to be like those people were last weekend. Our life is going to be over, and our soul is going to go out into eternity. Now, let me ask you, why would anybody in their right mind choose to go to hell? Why would you choose to go to that place prepared for Satan when you could go to that place prepared by Christ? Why would you choose to go to that place of punishment when you could choose to go to that place of reward? Why would you choose to go to that place of darkness when you could choose to go to that place where it's never night? Why would you choose to go to that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you could go to that place where there's no more tears, no more pain, no more separation? You see, you get to choose. You get to choose. You get to make the choice. You get to decide. Are you going to exercise the measure of faith that the Holy Spirit of God has given to you? Enough faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Are you going to exercise that faith and turn back to God and receive Him as your Savior? Or are you going to keep your back turned on God? Are you going to have that wall of separation between you? Are you going to walk away from the relationship that God wants to have with every person? You get to decide. You make that choice. Again, I warn you, eternity is coming. It's coming. It will come for many of us. It will come unexpectedly, and it will come suddenly. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. That's why I chose the text I did this morning. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I don't know if you'll have another chance. I don't know if you'll hear another sermon. I don't know if you'll get to experience another invitation. I don't know that for any of us. This may be the last invitation I get to extend. This may be the last invitation that you get to hear. Amen. This may be the last time that you hear the gospel before you go into eternity. Please, 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 I beg you this morning, be ready. Amen. Be ready. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't get there any other way. Amen. The only way that you get there is to come through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now again, I know most of us here this morning are saved. We've received Christ. I don't apologize for preaching a strict salvation message, because if there's even just one person here that's never received Christ, they need to hear the gospel. They need to get ready. They need to receive Christ. If you're that person here this morning, would you? Would you decide right now to turn to Jesus Christ? Would you decide to receive Him as your Savior? We'd be happy to help you. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation song. And if you come down the aisle, I'll have somebody take their Bible and from their Bible show you how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. You can leave this place different than when you came in. You can leave this place knowing that you're ready to go into eternity, because you've received Jesus as your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for making it so simple that Adam can preach the same message back to the children and they can understand it just like we can. We're sinners, and that sin separates us from you. Nothing we could do to fix it, but you sent Jesus to fix it for us. And if we'd simply trust Him, if we'd simply receive Him, the Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. When the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? They responded, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so, Father, I pray for that person or persons that may be here this morning that's never received Jesus as their Savior. Holy Spirit, convict them this morning. Convict them. Convict them of their sin. Convict them of their need for a Savior. And then in the quietness of this moment, help them to turn to Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray we would never take what we have in Christ for granted. It's a so great salvation that we have in Jesus. Help us, help us, help us, help us to always be grateful and to live our life in gratitude and in worship to what you did for us on Calvary's cross with your Son. I pray that you'd bless this invitation. I pray for those that are here that don't know Christ. Again, Holy Spirit, help them not to leave this place until they come to Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.